أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we seek help from Him. We ask forgiveness from Him. We repent to Him. And we seek refuge in Him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who is guided by Allah is truly guided. And anyone who has been left astray will find no one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the only one without any partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, fear Allah as you should be feared and die not except as Muslims. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُؤْتِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. O you who believe, be aware of Allah and speak a straightforward word. He will forgive your sins and repair your deeds. And whoever takes Allah and His Prophet as a guide has already achieved a mighty victory. My dear sisters and brothers, a few nights ago, we commemorated the Isra and Mi'raj. Some people believe that the Isra is the night journey from Mecca to Jerusalem, and the Mi'raj is the ascension of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the presence of Allah. Some people believe that the Isra and Mi'raj occurred on the 27th of Rajab. Others disagree about the date, saying that no one knows for certain. Allah knows best. But no Muslim disagrees about the essence of Prophet Muhammad's Isra and Mi'raj, his mystical night journey and his ascension into the heavenly spheres. May Allah's peace and blessings and mercy be upon him. The Holy Quran alludes to this momentous occasion in the first verses of Surah Bani Israel. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Subhanalladhi asra abdihi laylan minal masjidil harami ilal masjidil aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Glory to Allah, who did take His servant on a night journey from the sacred mosque to the farthest mosque, whose precincts we have sanctified, in order that we may show Him some of our signs. For Allah is He who hears and sees everything. Now, this momentous event occurred more than 14 centuries ago. Then as now, it aroused the skeptics and the cynics to dismiss it all as a fantasy, a delusion. How can anyone travel hundreds of miles in one night and then claim to have traveled through the heavens to the throne of God? Then as now, the true believers have the same answer. He who created the heavens and the earth out of nothing can do whatever He pleases. He can part the oceans to save the followers of Moses. He can drown Pharaoh in that same ocean. He can flood the world while saving Noah in the ark. He can turn the roaring flames that are licking at the feet of Prophet Abraham and decree, "Fire, be cool." And Abraham can walk out of the fire with no burns. Allah can change the properties and the behavior of any part of His creation. He is not enslaved by the natural laws that He Himself wrote. He is the author. He can edit them as and when He pleases. You know, those of us who work with spreadsheets and so on, we write little properties in each cell, and the properties determine how the figures behave. Well, Allah Ta'ala is the great spreadsheet writer. He wrote the whole spreadsheet of the universe. He can change anything He wants to. So it's not a mystery for Him. He can do anything He pleases. It's a mystery for us. A man was once asked, "Can Allah pass a camel through the eye of a needle?" He answered, he said, it's a stupid question. Not only can Allah pass a camel through the eye of a needle, He can pass the whole dunya, the whole of His creation, the whole universe can pass through the eye of a needle if He wishes to do so. He only has to say, "Kun fayakun," be, and it becomes. Be, and it is. Now, centuries ago, this might have seemed fanciful. But nowadays, every physicist and scientist accepts that the universe actually began with a big bang 14 billion years ago, when all matter and energy, all time and space was so dense and so concentrated that it must have been smaller than a pinhead, certainly smaller than the eye of a needle. Today, every self-respecting scientist believes that, but many of them hesitate to go one step further. Who created the Big Bang? Was it spontaneous? Did time and space all begin by accident? So many scientists have difficulty in taking that crucial next step, that is to accept that this Big Bang did not just happen by chance. Everything follows the will of Allah. When Allah decrees this thing, He only has to say, "Kun fayakun," be, and it is. Subhanallah. Now, time is short today, and I just want to deal with three key points. The first is the narrative of the Isra and the Mi'raj. The second is the significance of the Mi'raj. And the third is the gift of the Mi'raj. The narrative is well known. It has a horizontal aspect and a vertical aspect. The horizontal aspect is the journey itself from Mecca to Jerusalem and back in one night. The vertical aspect is the ascension from Jerusalem into the heavens, into the very presence of Allah, the glorified and exalted. We are told that one night Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asleep near the Kaaba when the angel Jibril awoke him, washed his heart, and placed him on Al-Buraq, a mystical winged horse. Buraq could travel from horizon to horizon in one leap. Accompanied by Gabriel, they rode to Jerusalem, where Prophet Muhammad led the earlier prophets in prayer. From there, they traveled upward through the seven heavens, meeting and greeting all the earlier prophets in their celestial presence, not in their earthly presence, celestial presence, and until they reach what was referred to as the lote tree of the furthest extremity, the utmost boundary between creation and created, Sidratul Muntahar. Here Gabriel left Prophet Muhammad and said he could not even go beyond that point. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam proceeded on his own until he was, as the Quran describes it, Qaba Qusain, which is two bows length from Allah. Let us remember that words are so inadequate here. We are trying here to describe what is infinitely beyond description, beyond our strongest imaginings. The Holy Quran simply uses an evocative description. His vision did not waver, nor did his eyes deny what he saw. This was the absolute nearest that any human being has ever come to the Divine Presence. Allah the Glorified and Exalted, and Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, alone at last, face to face, no interlocutors, no distractions. Creator and created, indeed, the Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all the worlds, and the best of his creation, in direct communion with each other. Again, in the words of the Holy Quran, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw of the signs of his Lord the greatest. That is all the Quran says, and we cannot imagine what that was. We are told that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam then descended to earth. He returned from his meeting with Allah, carrying this blessed gift of the Mi'raj, the prayer, the Salah, as we know it today. The Salah that we perform here is the gift of the Mi'raj. This is how we are supposed to pray. And by Allah's blessing, we are one of the few ummahs of this planet that still pray exactly as our Prophet taught us, down to the finest detail. From the way we wash ourselves beforehand, to the way we put our heads on the ground, to the way we say salam at the end of the prayers, we are one of the few. Many ummahs have forgotten how the original teachings of their prophets taught them how to pray. But here we are, and it is one of the gifts of Allah that we still pray exactly as we were taught by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1400 years ago. At first, Prophet Muhammad had instructions that Muslims required to pray 50 times a day. But Nabi Musa said, look, this is going to be too onerous. Ask Allah please to reduce that amount. And eventually, after toing and froing, it was finalized at 5 times a day. Again, Nabi Musa said, even 5 times a day is going to be too onerous. People are lazy and they won't manage it. But Prophet Muhammad said, I feel too embarrassed. I can't go back to Allah and ask Him to reduce that. So that is how we are left with 5 times a day. So this is the gift of the Mi'raj over 14 centuries ago. Now imagine for a moment what Islam would have been like without the Salah, without precisely detailed formal prayers. Our faith would have been little more than an academic exercise, something to tickle the intellect, a belief system with some quaint notions about the meaning and purpose of life, but with no pivotal connection between Creator and created. And this Salah is our connection. Salah is what makes Islam more than just a good idea, but a functioning, purposeful relationship between Allah and His servants. Before the Mi'raj, Muslims had no idea as to how and when they should pray. Now we not only know how and when, but also, most importantly, we remember the reason why. Why do we pray? Why 5 times a day? Why not just once? Why not just once a week? Salah is not a human invention. It's not the Prophet of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's imagination. It was planned, prescribed by Allah Himself. It's our divinely designed means of communication with God. This is how He wants us to turn to Him 5 times a day, amidst all our distractions and amidst all the mundane pursuits of daily life. He does not want us simply to go into seclusion in a temple or a monastery and to remember Him once in a while. He wants us to remember Him constantly in the marketplace, in the university, in the schools and offices, in our homes, during our leisure time. Right there in the midst of life's distractions, we must keep our spiritual compass. We must maintain our moral integrity. This is the real challenge. While we are busy enjoying Allah's blessings, we must never forget where they come from and to thank Him. Salah is our formal link with our Creator. It brings us, our mind, our body, and our soul into complete harmony and into submission to Allah. Properly performed, it helps us to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Our hearts fill with stillness, sakina, serenity. And if we develop a yearning to be close to Allah, we long to be in that blissful presence, just as our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had on the Mi'raj. In fact, Salah is our own Mi'raj. You and I, we have our own Mi'raj here in our Salah. Perhaps it's the nearest we'll ever be to Allah. With our heads touching the ground, our limbs pointing towards Makkah, all our thoughts and feelings and desires focused on Allah. This is the magical moment when we become the connecting point between time, space, and eternity. In prostration, in sujood, we humble creatures of dust. When we shut off our body, mind, and soul to everything accept Allah's presence, we can become like lightning rods connecting heavens and earth. In that moment of sheer and absolute surrender, we become truly Allah's Khalifa, His vice regent, His ambassador on the earth. Brothers and sisters, when we pray properly, as Allah decrees, then great things become possible. Let us not neglect our prayers. Let's not rush through them like some unnecessary but unwelcome habit. We're like brushing our teeth or washing the dishes. It's not the same thing. Let's concentrate, meditate, and rejuvenate with this wonderful gift of our personal mi'raj. Let's pray properly, with meaning and with feeling. In Salah, we're in the grand audience hall of the Lord of the universe. This is an awesome presence. Let us show Allah our love, our courtesy, and our respect when we face Him. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khairil mursaleen, Muhammadan Nabil Ummi wa ala Ali wa sahbi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama salaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim, fil alameen innaka hamidun majeed. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. All glory is for Allah, all praise is for Allah. There is no power and no strength except with Allah. My dear sisters and brothers, when we Muslims pray, we enjoy a very special relationship with Allah. While others need intermediaries, we need no priests, no rabbis, no archbishop, or even a pope that stands between us and Allah. We worship Him directly, and He answers us directly. Allah says, I listen to the prayer of everyone who calls on Me. Let them also then listen to My call so that they may walk in the straight way. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah. Although 70,000 veils might separate us from Allah, nothing separates Him from us. He says that He is closer to us than our jugular veins. He knows our most secret thoughts and our most secret desires. What more do we want in the way of assurances and security? Without prayer, without regular, intimate contact with Allah, we would be exposed to all kinds of dangers to body and soul. Prayer, salah, brings us intimately close to Allah. It brings us into safety and security. We should never neglect our prayers. Brothers and sisters, to conclude our khutbah, Inna Allaha ya'mur bil adl wal ihsan wa ita'i zil qurba wa yanha anil fakhsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkaroon. Surely Allah commands justice, good deeds, and generosity to others and to relatives. And He forbids all shameful deeds and injustice and rebellion. And He instructs you so that you may be reminded. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. And remember Me, I will remember you. Be grateful to Me and do not reject faith. وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ. And without doubt, remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing in life, and Allah knows the deeds that you do. Aqimus Salat.